The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So tonight I thought to respond to a question that somebody asked a few weeks ago about right view. And it's a long question, so I don't think I'll read it. I think I'll more respond to it by offering some reflections. And it's the question is kind of oriented around, how does right view come into our practice? So it's a practical question about right view, not a theoretical question. But I want to kind of give a little bit of background on what right view is, just to kind of frame or give a little context for the response to how it comes into our practice. So right view is a kind of a perspective, we could say, an orientation to experience, to our lives, to how we meet what's happening for ourselves, that the Buddha put this orientation at the head of the Eightfold Path as a kind of wisdom that will orient us in the direction of freedom, in the direction of letting go of stress, of suffering, of the ways in which we get caught and struggle. So he found in his own practice the possibility that with whatever's happening, that there doesn't have to be a change in the external world, that whatever's unfolding in the world, it is possible to find a way to have some ease of heart and mind in that. So that there's a kind of an inner shift, an inner orientation that allows us to be at ease with whatever is happening in the world. Now that shift of being at ease with whatever's happening in the world, we may have some ideas or views about that. We might think that what that means is that we kind of sit back and it's like, oh yeah, everything's okay, no problem. There's a feeling of no problem, but there's also a feeling of engagement, particularly where suffering is concerned, where we see there is a struggle or something happening in the world with somebody causing harm, or we feel a kind of a way in which there's something happening that is creating stress or suffering for ourselves or others, that is understood as this is what's happening without resistance. And then the quality of compassion or caring steps in to essentially want to act to alleviate suffering. The entirety of the direction from Wise View is a perspective that orients the mind to alleviating suffering, whether internally or externally. And so there's an interesting, what seems like a paradox in Wise View, that we are simultaneously at ease with things as they are and wanting to act to alleviate suffering. But no fighting in the mind, no tension, no rub, no constriction in the mind. It's more of an open hearted kind of wish and action that comes out of the wish for well-being for ourselves and others. So this Wise View, the perspective that kind of orients us in that direction, there's different ways it's expressed classically in the texts. One of them is through the teaching on the Four Noble Truths. The teaching that there is suffering, and suffering comes into being as a response in response to craving, and that the ending of craving is the ending of suffering. And so that understanding that the suffering that happens is coming into being in connection with something going on in our own minds, the craving, the wanting something to be other than it is, that's a perspective that the Buddha offered. It's a counterintuitive perspective. We often think that the problem is something out there, that the reason I'm struggling is something that's out there. But he points to this craving, this wanting something to be other than it is. This is actually when that craving releases, there is that ease and peace, the okayness with things as they are, and yet the simultaneous opening to the wish to alleviate suffering. So that's one expression of wise view, the understanding that there is we could say one way is that we can understand the possibility of being at ease with whatever's happening in the world, and that that ease comes from the letting go of craving. That's a way to explore or express wise view. Another is, and I won't try to go through all the different ways that the suttas talk about, but just a few. Another is the kind of the cause and effect nature of experience, the conditioned nature of experience. And in particular, that when our minds, when action is motivated by greed or aversion or delusion, it tends to head us in the direction of suffering. And when action is motivated by non-greed, non-aversion, non-delusion, it tends to move us in the direction of that okayness, of that sense of things can be, there can be the ease with things as they are. Non-greed, non-aversion, non-delusion. Or to turn it around, it is a perspective of generosity, love, and wisdom. Generosity, love, and wisdom move us in the direction of more ease and peace in our lives. So the conditioned nature of experience that we start to learn how, when greed, aversion, and delusion are arising in our minds, how they actually make us feel stress right here and now. We learn that actually through seeing our experience in the present moment. So this is beginning to bring in the practice of being with experience. I'll come back to that in just a moment. Another expression of wisdom, of wise view, of right view, is an understanding that things are impermanent, unreliable, and not self. This is another classic definition of wise view, and often it's described that when someone has wise view, they cannot take things to be permanent, reliable, or I, me, or mine. So it's kind of understood, this is understood to me more the understanding or the insight, the view or the wisdom that develops as we practice. And yet those perspectives, we can also use those as perspectives with our practice. We can remind ourselves sometimes, and even just a little bit of reflection can help us with some of these. Now, you know, the reflection on not self, that takes a little more understanding. But the reflection on impermanence, with just a little bit of reflection, it's not so hard to recognize, yeah, pretty much things, if we look at anything, we'll see that it's impermanent. Even things that feel like they're lasting, things that are going on for a long time. One teacher said, well, okay, it feels like, and in fact, the Buddha said this too. It's like, you know, if there's a painful sensation in the body, a kind of an illness or something that's creating something, he says to reflect that this will end with death. So that it is not permanent. It will end when we die. And when we look at the actual sensations, at the sensation level of experience, we see that very often what we think of as a stable, solid, firm sensation is actually kind of broken up into a lot of different pieces, and they're kind of rapidly shifting and changing. And so even something that feels stable and solid in the moment, as we start to look at it more carefully, we see that it's not. So the practice of being with our experience of mindfulness, what makes it wise mindfulness, what makes it skillful, is when we bring the perspective of wise view to how we pay attention. So my teacher, Sayadaw Utejaniya, he has a book titled Awareness Alone is Not Enough. And that is kind of referring to the fact that mindfulness, at least my understanding of what he's saying there, is mindfulness itself is a pretty neutral quality in the mind. It's a capacity, the human capacity, to know what's happening in the present moment while it's happening. But that capacity to know what's happening in the present moment while it's happening can be kind of motivated by different things. It might be motivated by a greed to get something that we've seen. You know, we arrive in the present moment and we like what we're experiencing, and it's like, yeah, that's good. I want more of that. So the being aware of something, we might kind of move in the direction of wanting more of it, as opposed to the curiosity. This the perspective of wise mindfulness, and this is where I think the instructions that we offer for mindfulness meditation kind of embed the perspective of wise view. Without like giving a big talk about wise view, when we talk about being mindful, we talk about being curious about experience in the present moment as experience in the present moment. We talk about getting familiar with the sensations as sensations. We talk about knowing a breath as a breath. That is kind of implicitly pointing to just knowing experience as experience, not as my experience, not as me or mine, but just as human experience. So that sometimes I say that as an expression of what it means to be mindful, to be mindful in this way that's helpful, that helps us move in the direction of ease and peace, to be curious about experience as human experience. Just this present moment's experience. What is it like to be a human being experiencing this right now? That's a way that right view is informing how we're paying attention, how we're being with experience. That's very different than I often use this example, than the attention of a thief, perhaps, who may be very mindful in their movements through a house while they're robbing it, be very aware moment to moment of every step, every movement, but their motivation isn't curiosity about what it's like to be stepping and moving. It's a motivation to be quiet so that they are not discovered, so that they can steal things. So it's a very different motivation. So the motivation of what is this experience as experience? It's a profoundly different, it's a profound shift of experience, of how we are attending to experience. And that kind of perspective brings in a lot of, that brings in the learning that starts to happen, the learning about that there is what we see as we my mouth is getting tied up in knots. What we see as we explore experience in that simple way. What is this human experience? We feel, we experience, we recognize when there is craving arising, we feel the suffering of that. When craving falls away, and this is one of the most profound understandings, and it's actually an insight. I think many of you have experienced this, that there are times when you're seeing something challenging going on, an unpleasant sensation, something hard happening, and you kind of are sitting with it and being with it, and maybe even noticing the kind of aversion, the wishing it would go away, the craving. And then for maybe a few moments, the craving stops. And it's just the sensations of something unpleasant happening. And it completely changes the experience when the craving falls away. And in that moment, you're actually, in that moment, you're getting a taste of the experience of right view. You're getting a taste of what it means for the mind to have right view in that moment when that craving releases and you understand the understanding at some level. There's that understanding. Oh, when the craving lets go, it's not a problem. It's just an unpleasant experience. So that's a profound kind of realization or understanding that begins to reinforce or confirm or support our confidence in being aware in this way, with this kind of curious exploration of experience as experience. So that's one kind of the simplest way to talk about wise view in practice, is just the very way we practice brings wise view in. And we often have habits and, you know, tendencies in the back of our mind that want something to happen or wanting to get rid of something. And so there's a tool that can help us there, which is to check the attitude from time to time, check our relationship with experience from time to time. So this thing's going on, and what's my relationship to it? Or anything else going on behind the scenes that I haven't quite noticed, that can reveal some like habits or tendencies of the perspective of wanting something to happen or wanting to get rid of something that hadn't been seen. The seeing of that. So when it's not seen, when it's behind the scenes, kind of A common experience for us in meditation is when there's something unpleasant happening, we might be paying attention to it in order to have it go away. And we might not notice that kind of that wanting it to go away as we're paying attention to it. We're paying, and I certainly didn't in my early years of practice. I was really honed in on those unpleasant sensations, and I knew that paying attention to it was the best thing to do. And yet behind the scenes was, it's the best thing to do because it's going to make it go away. And so I didn't really see that aversion there. And yet I learned a lot. You know, I learned a lot about paying attention to experience. I learned a lot about what was going on in my mind, and what the, you know, the impermanent nature of experience. And so I learned a lot. And then there were times when I began to see actually, oh, there's this wanting it to go away is part of the picture. And so that now just also becomes something else that we can recognize. That too is simply something that's going on in our experience. When it can be seen, So when it's behind the scenes, when it's not seen, when it's like we're not aware of it, it can be functioning as that kind of tendency that's keeping us tied up, keeping us kind of looped and hooked into that habit, reinforcing that habit. But if we see it, and we can see it through using this kind of question of, well, what's the relationship? If we see it, then it can just be kind of in front of us. It's like, oh, what's happening is that this is going on and I want it to go away. And that's a human experience too. I don't have to get rid of it, but seeing it as a human experience, as opposed to identifying as this is my problem and I need to fix this and I need to change this. It becomes just like, oh, the thinking it's a problem. That's what's happening right now. So that when we can see that perspective, there's the opportunity to then shift to wise view, even about that confused idea, because it can be seen now, because it's present. It's not behind the scenes anymore. It's in front of our minds, we can see that. So that's one way that we can explore moving towards wise view in the practice. Sayadaw Utejaniya sometimes says, we get to right view, we move in the direction of right view by getting to know confused view, wrong view, wanting view, aversion view, really well. So to not make a problem out of the fact that it's happening, but to be curious about it. So that's a key way we move in the direction of wise view, and a key way that the practice reinforces and strengthens wise view. By getting curious about what's in the way of wise view. We feel like there's some kind of struggle or stress. That's a great time to think about checking that relationship too, is if it feels like there's a struggle in the mind, what's the relationship? If it feels like it's hard to meditate, like there's a problem, there's some kind of attitude or view or perspective in the back of the mind that's in conflict, that's not being clearly seen. So if there's some kind of struggle, what's going on? What else is happening? What's the relationship to what's happening? Another way to bring wise view in, and this I use a lot, and I learned this really from Sayadaw Utejaniya. This is a key way he speaks about bringing wise view into our practice. And it often is more early in our practice that this would come in. Or at times, again, at times when there's a struggle, this can come in as well. Sometimes he suggests actually consciously remembering the perspective. It's like bringing a reflection of the wisdom that we've heard, that teachers have talked to us about, or even wisdom that we've known ourselves in the past, you know, things that we've understood ourselves in the past. Consciously bringing that into the mind. That can be a way when there's a struggle going on in the mind. And I've seen this a lot. At one point on a retreat, I was struggling with kind of an ongoing low-grade depression. It was there a lot. And when it was there, it was pretty sticky. It was kind of, the mind was getting involved in it and kind of believing it was a problem. And I began using, when that came up, when the depression was there, just reminding myself. So bringing in the thought, this is nature. This is just what's arising right now. It's conditioned. And in a way, kind of remembering or kind of reflecting on this kind of mind state, this low-grade depression is something that I've experienced a lot of in my life. It's familiar. It's kind of conditioned. So this is nature to me, that this is happening not randomly. But out of conditions from the past, conditions from what's happening now and how I'm relating to it. And so it was just a little reminder that it is a natural arising in this moment based on the conditions that have come together in this moment. It's like a reflection on causes and conditions, that what's arising right now has happened because of causes and conditions. It's also connected to the understanding of not self, that what's happening right now is an arising based on conditions. It's not me, it's not mine, it's not who I am. And so that reflection on this is nature, or this is conditions, or the way it kind of framed itself for me, the language that became what I used more. I used this is nature quite a lot, but at some point it shifted to, of course this is happening. The mind has done this so much in this life. Of course this is happening. And so there's this way of bringing in wise view. It's a conscious reflection. And what that can do sometimes, you know, it's not that it necessarily changes everything, but what I've seen it do in my experience is when those reflections are dropped in, it can kind of like create some space in the heart. It's like, oh, right, I'm trying too hard to figure this out or to fix it or change it. It's just conditions that are arising. Another reflection that my mind brings in sometimes is, and mindfulness can hold this. Mindfulness can be with this. That's another one that often gives my heart some space to rest with it. So those are some other ways that we can practice in the practice when we are being mindful, being aware. Sometimes just the practice itself is cultivating wise view. Very often it is just the way we are being with experience. And checking the attitude from time to time can help us to see something that's counter to wise view. And then we're working on wise view by getting to know unwise view. Or we can bring in wise view consciously, dropping in a thought or a reflection of wisdom or understanding.